areas so you can obviously make things fit if you want. Mostly vino, but not all. Rather heavy squark sectors that are basically unobservable. I didn't list the rest of the squark masses. Chargenos and gaygenos in general are light. So that's the model which was presented in terms of the cross sections and such things. And the challenge for theorists is to, you probably all are more or less able to go through the procedure that led to these numbers. Then you use these to generate the spectra at a collider that was shown earlier in the week on those other graphs, which I won't show again unless people want. And then the question is to develop techniques which let you go from the cross sections that the experimenters report to these numbers and then back the other way so that you go to the high scale and to the structure of the theory, which could be, of course, much more subtle and complicated than this sort of simple, traditional, easy model that is well published and talked about and still reasonable as an approach. That's okay. There's no everything. This is consistent with sort of everything we know about. But yes, the H-terms become negative. That's because of the both the gaygenal masses and the H-terms get that suppression, and in this particular version, that's what you get. Nothing we're doing is very sensitive to that. We just picked a set of parameters which give, the A terms are suppressed because if you look at, for the same sort of reason as the, you get an effect from the Kähler non-perturbative contribution to the calculation of the A terms, which reduces them. The scalars don't get changed at all. The A terms and the gaygenal masses do in this approach. And it's that's well documented in the literature, or a lot of this is summarized in this paper on benchmark models that several of us wrote a couple of years ago, that of which this and a number of other string-based models are included to construct models that experimenters could use to study if they wanted to use these kinds of things to proceed.
For Gordy. Rob, yes?
I mean, you have an idea of there's lots of other models that would have given you the same data
That's an open question. We think that using the approach where you are making these plots and outlining your regions and looking at things is maybe the best you can do at untangling. So it's not unlikely there will be others. And if you use this kind of procedure, which as far as we can see at this stage, optimizes the information you can get experimentally from this, then you focus in on certain kinds of theories that may give this. And there might be two rather different kinds. Then you have to go to those theories and make other predictions. And I would take, you said, do I have? And so yes, I think that, for example, whatever breaks the supersymmetry and leads to these soft-breaking Lagrangian is going to depend on some things that also determine the Yukawa couplings and the inflaton and the cosmic strings. And so we're going to have to finally, most likely, be serious about the theory and about the connections and probing in there and generalize this approach from collider data to the rest. So we focused just here on collider data for this exercise, but at some point it would be fun to do an exercise where we not only use the collider data but the Yukawa couplings or the cosmic string information to move toward a unique answer that really focuses us on getting the theory right. So that's my view of how it's going to go. It should take 5 years from now. Finish. Yeah. If you, what happens here is that peak is at about a little over twice the gluonal mass. The events are mainly coming from gluonal pair production. So the missing energy plus the sum of all the transverse momenta, including the fact that there are radiated jets as well in the event, will often peak at a little over twice the gluonal mass in such cases. And so that's a pretty good clue that the gluonal mass has to be less. It was at 715 GeV, so the gluonal mass of between 300 and 350 GeV is kind of indicated by that number, and that's an approximate clue for the gluonal mass then. And here, if you take the dilepton spectrum, that cut off in this example at 20 GeV. If you look at Beno-dominated or Amsugra-dominated cases, usually the mass difference between the LSP and the second neutralino is close to a Z-mass because the decay is through the Z typically, and to get the opposite sign dileptons. And here it was only 20 GeV was an immediate clue that it wasn't an Amsugra approach. So that kind of information is present in these kinds of stuff once people have started studying all this.
Okay, so let's thank Gordy again for taking us to this. And before we leave, please, Rob wanted to say some words, and I would like to, if all of us can thank Rob and all the organizers for this nice conference.
Well, as well as the organizers, we should thank all of the speakers, and I'd like to thank all of the participants for coming and making it a successful workshop. And I hope we're going to see you here again in the future at Perimeter. But I also wanted to make sure that we also want to see you here, or not here, but in Toronto in a few months. We're going to have Strings 2005, and we have this beautiful poster here. And if you haven't seen the poster, that means you haven't visited the webpage to register. And if you can't see the poster from the back, that's okay, because we've got a number of copies out on the registration table. And given that our creative process has put us a couple of months behind, we're only now mailing them out. But